Start your day.
The Big Show.
3BA.
FM 102.3.
Let us shoot the breeze with Alex Chelios from thebigsmoke.com.au. Morning to you, Alex.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well and refreshed after my little two-week break. It was lovely.
That's nice. I think everyone's having, like, isn't the year a break?
Sorry?
Isn't this whole year a break?
Yeah, pretty much. I saw a lot of memes going around on social media on the weekend about daylight savings and people wanting to spring forward 4 months.
I feel like maybe we could lie about our age this year.
We probably could, couldn't I? I'm so still...
It doesn't count.
You know, I'm back to 21 again.
Yeah, I'm, you know, 29. Realistic.
Okay, I'm glad one of us is being realistic. Alex Chelios, speaking of COVID... Why are psychologists suggesting that talking to yourself during COVID is going to help us feel more empowered?
So we often talk about people who talk to themselves as being a bit odd. But then we also look at videos on YouTube and we watch shows like on Oprah, for example, where they talk about affirmations and self-talk. And it's a little bit like a verbal journal, like a verbal journal, where people maybe write each day how they're feeling. And this can be a very cathartic activity to do. And psychologists are saying that during COVID, it's quite high stakes just in terms of how we feel about the world and ourselves. And that by self-talk, focusing on self-talk and allowing yourself to, unpack things aloud, actually can help you feel better about what's happening in the world, because it's uncertain and it's concerning. So for a lot of people, it's a bit of a pep talk. So for example, you're doing well, just keep doing it. For other people, it's mindfulness, so it's verbalizing how you're feeling at the time, and being able to just sort of stay with a psychological program of, focus.
Does that also work? Like, my partner and I, Elise and I, have a fabulous vocational relationship, can I put it that way? We vocalize a lot to each other. Does that work at the same... I reckon that'd have to work, wouldn't it?
It works, because basically you're getting out how you're feeling. So often what happens with the person is they keep internal, feelings in place, and they're not really, discussing it. So whether you talk to yourself or you're talking to somebody else, some people it's a therapist, other people it's a partner, it's the idea that you can actually, motivate yourself, facilitate reflection, be in the moment, all of those things.
I'd just like to fix something up there. I referred to Elise as my partner. She's my wife, of course.
Difference?
Well, lots. Yeah. There's a ring on the finger. She's okay. Definitely my wife.
All right, Beyonce.
Morning coffee. I'm a big fan. Are you a big fan?
Yeah, I love coffee.
So apparently we've been doing it wrong all this time. The first thing, after I have a shower and get dressed, is I go to the coffee. I'm having my coffee. That's the third thing I do every morning, but apparently I shouldn't be.
So this is a problem for someone like myself who doesn't have breakfast.
And me too.
So this was a study that was looking into the effect of broken sleep across a range of metabolic markers. So how drinking coffee or how your sleep impacted how your daily sugar control occurred, your blood glucose levels. And what they found was that they actually required you to wake up and have breakfast before you have a coffee. And the reason is because it has implications around spiking your blood sugar level. So if your first thing is to have a cup of a coffee, they found that participants who did that had more sleep disruption than those who didn't. So if they were given a strong black coffee 30 minutes before consuming a sugary drink or breakfast, they were more likely to have broken sleep the following night. For people who were eating breakfast, for example, and then having coffee, they were more likely to have consistent sleep patterns.
So this is my problem.
Yeah, so it's a choice, right? So you choose, do I want to sleep or do I want to have coffee first thing in the morning? I choose coffee.
How do we fix it for you and I who don't have breakfast, though? What, do we just drink some water?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would work for other things. Like, for example, what I do some mornings is I have a fresh ginger shot.
Really?
Yeah, so most mornings I have a fresh ginger shot, and it's just a way to sort of, well, from what I understand, it's really great for your gut, and then that could actually help control blood sugar levels as well, because it would break the fast in a different way, I guess, than if you just had coffee.
Yeah, see, I'm not a big fan of ginger. I'm going to have to find another way, Alex.
Yeah, You know, I'm sure there are things that you... I mean, even if you had an apple.
Perhaps a shot of 43.
I think you're doing okay.
Yeah? Do you even know what 43 is?
No.
It's a very, very yummy honey liqueur with lots of alcohol content.
Is that what you put in your coffee?
No, no, no. I was just saying, perhaps I should have a shot of 43 instead of a shot of ginger.
Yeah, because the blood glucose insulin response would be great after that.
All right, let's move on to closets and how they've become a status symbol in 2020. I can't work this out.
So we often would see videos on YouTube of people who would do tours of their home, and it's usually a Kardashian or some celebrity, and they show you how amazing their home is. And often for a lot of people watching, the most exciting part of it all was the closet. So they would often have these amazing closets with tables in the middle of the room and racks that were computerized and, you know, all crazy. And the walk-in closet was a big luxury item in the 80s and 90s. So now they're becoming more like a fashion museum, and we're seeing celebrities do this. But with the rise in TikTok and Instagram videos during quarantine, we're seeing more and more young people showcase their amazing closets. And for a lot of people, it's the size of an entire library. And it's interesting because, it's this kind of like keeping up with the Joneses situation, but on social media. And I know one person, for example, who has a two-bedroom apartment, and she's got one bedroom that's her actual bedroom, but then the second bedroom she's converted into a closet. So when you walk in, there's racks everywhere, and there's a big table in the middle with her accessories and jewelry and bags, and she films videos in there for her TikTok account. Where she's showcasing her new bag or whatever it might be. So it turns out that, you know, it used to be custom bags, it used to be amazing heels, and now it's the custom closet. That's the ultimate status symbol. So you can thank Sex and the City for that, because one of their biggest storylines was of how the main character got her own walk-in closet as a symbol of love.
The friend you were just talking about with the two-bedroom apartment, well, one bedroom and one closet, doesn't happen to be someone I know, does it?
No, because like, it's not even someone I want to know.
Like you?
No, it's not me. I would have a bedroom that's an office. I'm the last person to have a closet for a bedroom.
How big's your closet?
Well, I have an actual closet, but actually I've got three bathrooms, and one of the bathrooms it has been converted into like a makeup room.
Really?
No one uses it other than just for makeup, and it's got lights and stuff.
How many skeletons have you got in your closet, Alex?
Zero.
Really?
Yeah, because I say everything, right?
I'm coming around to do some digging.
You and I, neither of us have skeletons in our closet. We're too up front.
You're probably right there. Yeah,
I can't think of anything that I would, yeah.
You're probably right. Alex Chelios, great to be back and chatting with you and shooting the breeze. And you have a wonderful week up Sydney Way, okay?
Thank you so much.
Go and clear the beaches at Bondi. Alex Chelios from thebigsmoke.com.au. We'll shoot the breeze again next Tuesday.